I want to invite you into this lifestyle of wisdom, because you will create, you will think of different ways. It doesn't matter to me if you're a lawyer, accountant, a stay-at-home mom or dad, doesn't matter what it is, you will have new ways of approaching life simply because the gift of wisdom functioning. And you'll learn how to tap into realms of excellence, all the while maintaining a heart of real integrity so that what we do is rock solid. Well, hello there. Welcome back. So glad that you have joined us, that we get to spend this time together in the book of Proverbs, really in the quest for wisdom, really with the assignment of God to reign in life. And it's one of my most favorite chapters, chapter 8. We've decided to make this one a little bit longer. The temptation was to divide it into two, but we'll just make this a little bit longer. There's a couple major subjects. In fact, there's three major subjects for me in this chapter. And I want to start with verse 1. If you'll take a look at it, it says, does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. And then it goes on with this great appeal, wisdom, come, learn from me, learn this thing of wisdom. Here's the first thing that delights my heart. Part of the reason is I have so much of my life is involved with the idea of seeing transformation to city and nations. So what do we have here? We have wisdom at the gates. The gates is the place of authority. The gates in scriptures is a place of authority. So wisdom stands at this place of authority in the city and begins to decree. This is what I believe it means. I believe the Lord has made sure that every city that wisdom is available at those places of authority to anyone who will ask for it. The Bible goes on to teach there's a woman of folly who also stands there and she makes her appeal. So here's the deal. You and I can make decisions as people, as citizens in a community. We can make decisions. We can live lifestyles. We can make decrees. We can serve in the way we serve, all to reinforce an appetite for an entire city to live with wisdom. Why is that appealing to me? Because cities are God's idea. He didn't make us to live, 5 miles apart, with no connection. He actually made us to be able, even if you live in a ranch somewhere, there's a community somewhere close by where you meet with other friends, where you go to restaurants and buy gasoline, things of that nature. It's the fact that God designed cities to actually be shaped by wisdom. And my cry for my own city is that wisdom would shape us. And we're seeing improvements. Over the last 20 years plus, we've seen some great things take place here. But I want to encourage you, just live with the realization, wisdom is crying out at the places of authority in your city. Pray for those people in authority, that they will truly yield to that spirit of wisdom and receive the direction that the Lord wants to give. His wisdom is very practical. And here's the deal. When wisdom is in place in a city, everybody wins. It's not just a competition that this business wins and this one loses. This family's healthy and this one's filled with disease. It's the opposite. In wisdom in a community, everybody profits. Everybody wins. We move on to something that is a very special subject for me. I get somewhat concerned by teachings of Jesus about resources that don't hold up in the rest of Scripture. And it's not the teachings of Jesus that are the problem. It's the way that we repeat them and we take one verse or one illustration and remove it out of the whole picture. Proverbs, for me, helps to bring a clarity that is really critical. So if you would, just look at verse 10 with me. It says, receive my instruction. Now, this is wisdom talking. Receive my instruction and not silver. All right. He's making a very distinct choice here. And knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared to her. So here is this clarification. You've got wealth, you've got natural riches, and you've got wisdom. Wisdom is standing there saying, don't be foolish. Choose the wisdom. Choose the knowledge. Choose understanding. This lifestyle of understanding and wisdom and knowledge. Choose this as the priority of your life. But this is just a few verses later, down in verse 17. He says, I love those who love me. This is wisdom still talking. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My goodness. This is interesting to me that the Lord would say, choose wisdom, not money. Choose wisdom, not wealth, not all this material gain. Don't choose that stuff. Choose wisdom. And then wisdom comes along and says, by the way, look what I brought with me. I brought the things that you chose to not make a priority in your life. What happened to Solomon? Solomon chose wisdom, and the Lord spoke to him and said, because you didn't choose fame, you didn't choose wealth, you didn't choose longevity, I'm going to give you all these other things. Do you know what I believe this is? This is the Old Testament equivalent of Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Idolatry happens when we take something that God values in our life and we elevate it to a higher place of value than he does. In this case, seek first the kingdom. What is that? The dominion of God over every part of my life. He says, make that your top priority. And then these other things will be added into your life. I'll take care of this stuff. You make sure that you're focused on the right stuff. What happens is we start to taste of the favor of God. We start tasting of the blessing, the resource of heaven. And the focus begins to shift where it feels so good, the gratification, the resource, the blessing. And the shift takes place where we stop making wisdom, or in this case, the kingdom of God, the priority. We start making these other things the priority. When that happens, we've just elevated the blessing of the Lord into the priority, the focus, and it becomes an idol. So I feel like the Lord wants to bring, I know prosperity is so twisted and so perverted, and I get that, but I feel like the Lord's going to give us a chance to redefine what real prosperity looks like, because real prosperity has purpose. It has eternal impact, and the Lord is welcoming us into a relationship with him where we discover firsthand what it's like to tap into unlimited resources to apply to his purposes in the earth. And that's the privilege that we have as believers. But if we're afraid of, and all these things will be added unto you, then we won't manage what he releases into our life well. So that's a huge concern. It's all the time we have for that one right now. Let me move on quickly. The last part of this chapter is exciting to me because it describes creation. Wisdom was a principal element in creation. Now, I want to remind you, I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it's either 1st or 2nd, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I think it's verse 30 or 31, Jesus is identified as the person of wisdom. So when it says here in verse 30, it says, I was beside him as a master craftsman. Who's talking here? Wisdom is talking. Wisdom was involved from verse 22 all the way to 31 with the creation of the world. Everything was shaped by wisdom. Everything ran through the filter of divine wisdom. Why is this important? Because wisdom creates. See, wisdom is identified for me in three principal ways through Scripture. Number one, creativity. Number two, excellence. Number three, integrity. You can probably find a dozen other expressions, but those three stand out to me, that those three are the three principal ways that the wisdom of God is seen in our lives. Number one, creativity. As believers, we should be the most creative people on the planet. Not the only creative people, but we should really lead the way in music and art and architecture and, you know, financial arrangements, all the stuff that pertain to life, that we would be able to tap into that creative nature of the heart of our Father and represent him well with creativity. And so here we see Jesus, the person of wisdom, was beside the Father as a master craftsman. Now, Exodus 31 and Exodus 35 both have this phrase. Bezalel was a man filled with the Spirit. First person in the Bible mentioned filled with the Spirit, was filled with the Holy Spirit for the purpose of wisdom. And the wisdom was used to create. He had understanding in working with metal, with wood, with fabrics, with stone. It was this creative, artistic expression that came through this man because of the Holy Spirit came upon him in the form of wisdom. I want to invite you into this lifestyle of wisdom because you will create, you will think of different ways. It doesn't matter to me if you're a lawyer, accountant, a stay-at-home mom or dad, doesn't matter what it is, you will have new ways of approaching life simply because the gift of wisdom functioning. And you'll learn how to tap into realms of excellence, all the while maintaining a heart of real integrity so that what we do is rock solid and it will continuously testify of the kindness and the goodness of the Lord. So I bless you with that. I pray that you have an ever-increasing appetite for wisdom to be seen and demonstrated in your life in the same way. And so I bless you with that. Chapter 9 is going to be interesting because we'll find in chapter 9 that wisdom actually builds. Amen. Bless you.